When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Giving birth happens in three stages. Understanding these stages can better prepare you for your own labor and delivery because you'll know what to expect. Hi, I'm Rosemary Mason. I'm a retired childbirth educator and a current postpartum doula and a lactation specialist. Today, we're going to be exploring these stages of labor, and this is Preggy Pals, episode 20.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself.
I'm pregnant. And I have to exercise?
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit!
I've got kinkles!
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms, and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way. Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Sunny Galt. Have you subscribed to our Preggy Pals newsletter yet? It's a great way to learn more about the latest episodes and to learn ways you can get involved with our show. You can subscribe through our website, preggypals.com, and you can now take Preggy Pals wherever you go with our free apps, both on Android and Apple devices. You can listen to our most recent episodes, you can star your favorite episodes, and you can get instant access to our social networking sites. And also, just a quick note, Preggy Pals is also looking for panelists, bloggers, and experts to join our team. If you want some more information on that, visit our website. Okay, let's learn a little bit more about our panelists today. Here in the studio, we have two new panelists. So, Kate, let's start with you.
Hi, my name is Kate Gittens. I'm 29 years old, and I work for Pearson Education. I'm due August 30th, and I do not know the gender of my baby. This is my first child, and I will have a hospital-medicated birth.
Okay, and Jackie.
Hi, I am Jackie Kleber. I am 25. I am a kind of practicing birth doula.
On your way, kind of thing.
On the way to the journey. My due date is November 29th. It is a girl, but this is a surrogacy. So I have one child, he's 3 years old, and I'm going to have a natural hospital birth at Pomerado.
All right. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen. On sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at Menards.
Before we start today's show, here are some great prenatal fitness tips.
Hi, Preggy Pals. I'm Lisa Drexman, chief founding mom at Stroller Strides, where fitness is fun, you get to have a great time with your baby, and you get to meet other new moms. And I'm here today to answer your questions about fitness and pregnancy. So one question that I get, especially in summer heat, is there a concern about hyperthermia, and is there a concern about my baby overheating? And it is a real concern, but it's not so much that you shouldn't be exercising. You just need to do it safely. If the weather is really extreme, then I would recommend that you do exercise in a cooler environment. If you're going to be outside, then it is important to wear, you know, the moisture wicking clothing, light colors, and make sure that you're staying hydrated. But the body is so amazing when you're pregnant because your body actually protects itself and the baby protects itself when you're pregnant. And you are better able to dissipate heat when pregnant than when not pregnant. So you're actually able to cool yourself down better so that you're cooling the baby down. So really, you shouldn't be too concerned. You should be careful anytime. Wear light clothes, exercise in cool environments, but don't let it keep you from exercising. I mean, my general rule of thumb is if it feels good to you, it's probably feeling just great to the baby. This is probably not a time for the heated yoga classes by any means. I'm a big fan of them, but this isn't the right time for them. So go take a safe prenatal class. And again, just listen to your body. Thanks for listening to today's tip, and be sure to listen to Preggy Pals for more great pregnancy tips.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Today we're breaking down the labor and delivery process. What exactly is happening to your body? When is it happening? And why does it need to happen? Joining us here in the studio is Rosemary Mason. She's a postpartum doula who's helped many women through these different stages of labor. Rosemary, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I know you you were up pretty late helping out with some twins, so we really appreciate you being here in the studio with us.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about these stages. First of all, why is it important that we know more about the different stages? I mean, our body's naturally going to do it. Why do we have to know about it?
I think everyone likes more information and what's happening with their bodies. That's why we take classes. We want to know about breastfeeding. We take our childbirth education classes to understand when we go through these phases, and then you won't be so afraid. I think the more knowledge we have, the better we feel about things.
Okay. Now, a lot of pregnant women want to know, especially if this is their first, when we talk about labor and delivery, we want to know how long is the process? And I know that that is a loaded question.
It's a long time.
Yeah. Right? But totally worth it. So is there an average length? Let's just talk about for first-time moms.
You know, I think first-time moms, anywhere between 8 to 12 hours is kind of the norm. Sometimes people go a little shorter. Sometimes it goes a little later than that. And I'm talking about actual hospital time, not so much the time of getting home. As you know, there's 4 stages of labor. And the first stage is just our early labor. We're at home and we're just relaxing. And our body is going from 3 to 4 centimeters. And so those would be the things that you would be at home and you're getting maybe little twinges. You get maybe a little backache. Maybe it comes forward. Maybe it comes down your legs. There's so many different aspects of contractions. And I know you had a baby before, so were there any contractions? What were your contractions feeling like at those early stages?
It was like a whole week before.
Okay, so you had the prodomo labor week before.
Yep.
And that's also another aspect of that early stages where you think, oh, I'm going to go into labor, and it's not today.
Just kidding. Yeah.
So you're talking about a week prior to your due date? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were feeling them then. Yeah. And that's different than Braxton Hicks, or are we talking about Braxton Hicks?
It's a sort of Braxton Hicks as well. Once again, your body is getting prepared to go down that labor path, and it's getting there more than away from it.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm curious, Jackie, with you, did you have any kind of childbirth preparation method that you were exploring? Were you doing hypnobirthing or anything like that?
I knew absolutely nothing.
Right. So, okay. Which I think a lot of us are in that position, honestly. So, yeah. I mean, that's totally fine. I was just curious. So, Rosemary, do any of those childbirth methods seem to, whether it's Lamaze or you're talking about the Bradley method or whatever, does that seem to affect the length of the birth, the labor and delivery process?
I think it does. I think if you have some education behind you, I think you kind of know what's going to be kind of expected.
Okay.
And you're not as afraid. I think that's the biggest part. I think fear makes us tense up. And the more we become, I like to say, we become Barbie dolls. And the more tense we are, you know, I can imagine Barbie having, you know, no offense to Barbie, but she probably would not have the best birth in the world. I think Raggedy Ann is what you want to aim for. Raggedy Ann, soft, really flexible, where, you know, she just let everything go and it'd be really great. And she has Andy with her, and it's really nice. So
it's totally
no offense
true.
To Ken.
Yeah, no offense to Ken, who'd be off flying his plane.
Right. We also hear too, if we've given birth prior, that the whole process could happen faster. Is that true?
I find that's true too.
Okay.
I think I think your body is already in the groove, and it just kind of goes right into it. I think pushing's a lot easier.
You know what to expect.
You know what to expect, and you just kind of go, oh yeah, okay, we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah.
I think sometimes our first time mommies have a tendency to get to the hospital a little too soon if they're going to have a hospital birth. And I think they see some things on the TV about, oh my gosh, you know, remember in TV they have to get it done within 30 minutes or an hour to get that birth
right,
done.
Right.
And if you really look at the clock on the wall, it's spinning and it's going like hour after hour. And I think it's really important for those early stages to stay home, relax, bake bread, watch Gone with the Wind, get your things in order, and, you know, maybe not tell everyone in the world you're in that early labor, because sometimes outside forces make you go to the hospital when you really aren't ready to go.
And that's my biggest fear is like when to go.
Once things start happening.
Right. You'll know. You'll just really, if you can talk through your contractions, then you can stay home. Remember that at the hospital, there's no floor show. They're not going to be giving you a bunch of food and things like that. So this is a good time to be home, you know, having some, you know, clear liquids, just relaxing.
Eating, yes.
And letting that labor progress. We want the labor to get longer, stronger, and closer together. That's its job.
Are there certain stages for women that are usually longer or shorter when we talk about
I think
these?
The early stage is the longest one.
Okay.
I think that's the, you know, the body's getting prepped for everything that's going on, and I think that the newness of everything is starting to happen. The first stage of labor has three phases, and that's the early, active, and transitional. So that early, we're staying home, we're relaxing, and then we're going from 0 to 4 centimeters, and once we get into active labor, and this is when we're about 4 centimeters, this is when we want to start thinking about maybe heading off to where we're going to be delivering. It'd be great to get there when you're 9 centimeters. Good for you. And that's okay, too. The active part is when things are really happening. Now mom's not able to talk through the contractions. It's a little more challenging for her. She may be thinking about medications at this time. That's probably the longest, kind of the next step into it. Our transitional, and that's when we're going from 7, once we get to like, you know, 4 to 7 centimeters in active, we're going from 7 to 10 centimeters in our transitional. That's the toughest part of labor, but also the shortest part of labor. This is when she wants to give up. I don't want to do this anymore. And most likely, if we're checked at that time, you're probably 8 or 9 centimeters, and you only have maybe another 20 minutes to go. So this could be maybe only an hour. My personal transitionals were only about 20 minutes, and then I was pushing babies out.
Did you have all the training and stuff when you were giving birth to your own children?
No, okay. Not at that time.
Okay.
And maybe it was good. I don't know, but it is, you know, it's very intense, and you feel lots and lots of pressure, and a lot of people think they have to go to the bathroom,
yeah.
And that's always a good sign as a birth doula. You know, as you'll find out, Jackie, it's like, oh, goody. She's feeling really bad, and she's throwing up, and she feels like she has to
go. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah. As a birth doula, we love fluids coming out of new mommies. So we think it's really fun that you're throwing up and things are coming out of you. And you know, a tip. So in case someone says, oh, I feel nauseous, please don't just hand them that small little Epsom basin. Give them the big one, because they feel like they can really keep up.
So for women, especially if this is their first pregnancy, mm-hmm. what are some of the symptoms that they feel? Let's kind of go through these. I know we just kind of talked about the different parts of the first stage of labor, but let's kind of go through them again, and what are we experiencing? What are the symptoms? How do we know when we're going through, you know, like
sure.
early labor? Let's
sure.
start with
Let's
that.
Just start with early labor. I think a lot of moms, it's kind of sneaks up on them a little bit, because you're just like, maybe you were just reaching for a plate or a cup and you feel a little tinge in your back and you're like, oh gosh, I better go to my chiropractor because I feel like a little tinge, and not realizing that, wow, this, you know, I'm 3 days past my due date and it might be that. Maybe you're just fixing dinner. You sat down to dinner. You feel this other twinge and you're thinking, that's strange. And before you know it, it's gotten to be more of a constant, and you're kind of timing it. Maybe it's 20 minutes apart, and they're lasting like 30 seconds, the contraction itself. It's kind of like a little, for a full minute, it's a 20-minute or 20-second buildup, a 20-second of, wow, this is really fun, and then a 20-second of it coming down. So you feel that intensity.
Okay.
And that's kind of the early. So you want, like I said, you want to just be relaxing. You want to finish your dinner. And the partners, too. This is when they will know to turn off the TV or kind of be more intent with their partner. Maybe have your bag ready. Please agree on the way you're going to be going to the hospital. These are important things that you want to be thinking about.
Okay. Do a lot of people disagree on how they're getting
Many
to the
people,
hospital?
Yes. You get in. Yes.
What, you're going to walk? You're going to drive? What?
No.
There's like 15 ways to be to
yeah.
the hospital.
Oh, you're talking about the path.
Okay. Journey, yeah, the actual driving.
Oh, so we have backseat drivers in
yes.
this case. Oh, my
actual
goodness.
Actual driving. So mom's Whoa. Thinking when you get in the car, she's going to go this way, and partner's like, and you're like, it's like the partner will find a hand around his throat, like, you know. Ugh.
Really?
Yeah. Where are you going? And why are you parking here?
I would have never thought that. I guess the emotions are high. You're just, I guess you're pretty irritable at that point.
Of course, you know, when are we going? Is it, you know, then here comes the big stopwatch, and everyone has 9 different stopwatches they're all using.
Right. And all the apps and stuff that you
Yeah, exactly. Now everyone has apps, and you become so focused on your phone that you forget someone is actually in labor. So partners, I remind them, just really watch your partner. How are they feeling? They want to be with you. They want you to hold hold their hand. Make sure they're drinking something. If you have to set the timer, so you're drinking something every hour, you're eating a little something.
And going potty.
Yes, and going potty, remind him that, because that gets them up and moving in different positions once, you know, you have to go to the bathroom. Oh, yeah, it's okay. I have to get up and move around.
Right. Okay. And I'm also thinking, because I'm a parent of two boys now, and so would this be a good time, too, that if you need someone to watch your child or kind of arrange all that kind of stuff then at that time?
And this happens a lot, especially if it's your second one. Yeah. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're thinking, oh, we'll hold off till, you know, 6 or 7 and then call grandma or someone else at that time, which is actually good because this then progresses your labor. That's why I think second time labors are shorter, because we have a first one that we're thinking about and not so much about, you know, what's going on with us personally. And then we can walk in and have that baby really quickly.
If we have a doula or midwife that's part of our team here, at what point do you recommend contacting them?
Call them right away. Okay. Call them as soon as you think you're in labor. This is the person that you want to be talking to. Maybe we've arranged where she's going to come over and hang out with you during that early part of labor to kind of keep you calm, help you with your breathing exercises, help you get in the bathtub, whatever needs to be done. But definitely do call your labor doula, even if it is 3 in the morning. These women wait for these calls at 3 in the morning. They have everything set so you are not bothering them.
Yeah.
This is their job to be with you.
It's amazing. I've talked to doulas, too, who are doulas having a baby, and they still don't want to call their doula.
Exactly.
I'm like, don't you tell people to call you anytime?
Exactly. It's so funny. And they still think, oh, I don't want to bother
her. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's good.
So call.
Yes, please call.
Okay. And then how do we know we're transitioning into the active part of labor?
Now our contractions are taking a little more of our attention. They're getting to be, wow, this is, now I know I'm in active labor. I'm not able to speak through a lot of the contractions. People ask me a question, and I'm like, just a minute. And you maybe, you know, you just stand there with a blank stare in your face for a few minutes. And then you can resume the conversation. And then you know the contractions are getting longer, stronger, closer together. And now they're lasting a good minute. And that's what we're hoping that we get to become.
Okay.
20-second buildup, 20 seconds of very intense, and then a 20-second of coming down. 3 to 4 minutes later, it starts all over again. So it's very consistent. The patterns are starting to happen. And that's what you'll look forward to. Lots of good patterns.
Yeah.
What happens, because I hear a lot of this from women who are pregnant and going into labor, they're out and about, they're grocery shopping, they're doing whatever. At what point do we say, okay, I should probably take this back to the home front or, you know, wrap up doing?
It's kind of everyone's own call on what needs to be done. I think you're going to know this is, okay, I can leave these groceries, I can get going. I probably would think if you're in early labors, you probably wouldn't be going grocery shopping. But, you know, if you happen to be in the middle of it and your water does break, for whatever reason, you know, you probably quietly just, you know, leave.
Clean up mile four.
Yeah. And once again, I think the last statistic I remember, it was only 8% chance that your water is going to break spontaneously.
Yeah.
So that means 92% chance
it's not going
to happen.
It means all the movies are wrong, is what it means.
Yeah. It doesn't mean you have to put a big, you know, big blanket all over the, you know, your leather seats too, so you can leak on that.
Okay. And then so what about moving into the transition phase?
So your transitional, once again, you've been in great active labor, you're laboring around, you could be at a home birth or your hospital birth, things are happening. Now you start feeling a little like you can't do this anymore. This is where we get toward the end and our body is just really working so hard and you're just thinking, oh, okay, that's it. If I didn't take medications, I'm taking them now, no matter what. I don't care. I don't want to do this anymore. I've had moms try to get out of their beds and say, I'll come back tomorrow. I don't want to do this anymore. I promise.
Can I take a break?
Yeah, really. Can I take a break? Yeah, can I just pause here because I need a break? I promise I'll come back tomorrow. I know I could do much better tomorrow. And like it's a test. Like, I'm not passing the test and I'm failing. And it's not. It's just about what's normal going on in this transitional part. And usually, someone will come in and check. You're probably at 9. Or centimeters, and then you got to click because now you're switching your brain from, wow, I'm actually going to be pushing this baby out. And we go into the second stage, which is pushing.
If you are planning for a hospital birth, you would obviously want to go to the hospital, probably in the active labor phase.
Active labor would be really great. Yeah.
Okay.
And what's the rule again on that? Is like 5-1-1 or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's usually 5 minutes apart, lasting a whole minute. And I would go at least 2 hours. Some people say an hour, but a lot of people fudge on their hours. So I would just make sure it's like 2 hours. If you were watching a movie, finish your movie. Okay, it's really rare that we're going to have a baby in the car. And if it is, woohoo, good for you. You know, it's more excitement.
I don't know if I would be saying that, Rosemary.
What a great birth story your child will be having.
Yeah.
But we really don't
on
read about it
during rush hour.
But we don't hear about it here. We don't, I mean, that would be really newsworthy. I mean, I really can't remember the last time we read about a baby being born in the car. But I think people are really afraid of that. And it's, you know, they get there maybe a little too soon.
Yeah.
So take your time. You have plenty of time. Yeah. Plenty of time.
Yeah, if you do get there early, and that was my experience with my firstborn, they had me like walk the halls a little bit.
Right.
Because I came in, I think I was 2 centimeters, and they wanted me at least be 3, I think, before they admitted me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walked for an hour, and then they admitted me because I opened up, obviously, a little bit more.
Yeah.
I dilated a little bit more. So.
So you could have been stayed home even a little longer and had that bowl of oatmeal. And,
but you know, the thing was for me, though, is my contractions, they were happening fast, and I was scared because I wasn't sure. They weren't lasting for a long time, but I didn't have any time, and I didn't have any time in between, and that was consistent throughout that birth. Like, you know, I eventually got an epidural, so I'm like, what, I'm having a contraction? But they would say that you had like 20 seconds in between contractions.
Your labor pattern was just really regular, so it, you know, it takes a while for it to get really regular, so it's okay that it kind of starts off. And a lot of times, a lot of moms, when they get to the hospital, they get performance anxiety, and they were having great contractions at home, really consistent, really great, and they get to the hospital, and all of a sudden
the bright lights,
lights, and people start coming in, all of a sudden their body just kind of closes down. And just like any type of, you know, animal, when they want to give birth, they pick the safest, quietest place they can find. It's not bright lights right in front of you. It's, you know, even though you put a little box there, they usually try to find the little linen closet that's quiet.
That's a really good point. We do that. Like, if we want comfort, I go to a, you know,
a quiet. And so that's why I really recommend that you do make your labor room as like your home as possible. Bring your favorite pillow. It's so important to bring your own fit pillow. It smells like home. Fill it with lavender, whatever you want it to do. Have your special
crinkle,
plastic on the mix, just kind of go, your favorite music. I mean, and if you don't like Babbling Brooks, bring Metallica if you love it. I mean, if you can sing during your labor, you're going to have a better birth. And that's through Penny Simpkin. It talks about that all the time. Sing through your birth. So bring, you know, Broadway if you want to sing every song. And a lot of people had like lots of scents, and they make it like, I have one family that did like Hawaiian, and it had Hawaiian music going, and like
they
coconut.
Made it a party.
It was awesome. All the nurses came in and like, we love this room. It feels like we're on the island. And it was an awesome birth. So think of these little things that make your birth really fun. You can labor in your own t-shirt too. You don't have to wear their gown if you don't want to. And that also makes you feel more like you're at home and makes you more comfortable.
Okay. Very good to know. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the second and third stages of labor. We'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Welcome back. We are talking about the stages of labor, and our special guest today is Rosemary Mason. She is a retired doula, but she's also a postpartum doula who has helped many women through their various stages of labor. So we talked about the first stage of labor during our first half. So now we are talking about the second stage of labor, which is pushing.
Yes, the big show. This is the best part of the whole labor is the pushing. This is where everyone starts coming in, and they start setting up the room.
That's what I noticed, because, again, my firstborn was born vaginally in a hospital, and everything was kind of slow throughout the night.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden, everyone's coming into my room.
The show's starting.
Like, wow, you know, what's showing? What's going on? Do I need? I didn't bring popcorn.
That's right.
You know,
it's like that. This is when the family starts getting anxious, and the, you know, partner's all excited, and they start moving the room around and breaking down the bed. And I had a real cute story. I had a family that the light went out, right? You know, right, the major light. So they had to call a technician, and this man and just came in, and you could tell he was like, oh my gosh, I'm here. And he quickly changed the light within the fastest light change I've ever seen in my life, and he was in and out.
I wonder who was more embarrassed, probably the guy.
I think he was very embarrassed. It was, they didn't want to move her, so it was like that. But
oh my goodness. Okay, so for pushing, this can obviously be various times, as in, you know, how long this lasts,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It can be from 15 to up to 2 to 3 hours. If you're pushing very effectively, then it may take you 2 hours. Sometimes with medication, it may affect a little bit of the pushing.
Right.
Yeah, it takes a little longer. Maybe not. I don't want to put anyone's, you know, seed in someone's brain that's going to take longer, because I've had moms who've had epidurals and pushed their babies out in 20 minutes as well.
Right.
One push. Well, yeah. No, two.
Yeah. Oh, for your firstborn?
Mm-hmm. Wow. No, I wish.
Oh. I was like.
Well, actually, we only need 10 contractions. If each one contraction, we dilate a centimeter, it takes 10 centimeters to be fully dilated. And if each contraction was only one, we'd only need 10 contractions, really.
Yeah, let's explain what happens during the pushing phase. So for me, I think they had me, one push, so to speak, was really multiple.
Correct. It's kind of like you want to have three good pushes in that one contraction. So you want to take
And you're counting to 10 or something like that?
It's some people like to count to 10. Some people will just do a low gruntal sound. It's kind of like, if you're in the Olympics right now, we can be watching the weightlifters, how they make that, that real hut sound.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do, because that's going to lock in the breath at the top. And if you think of PSIs, pounds per square inch, this is what we're using on the top of the fundus to help push down that baby. So if you lock your breath, and then bear down, and if you curl like a little C, you're going to put more pounds per square inch on the top of your fundus, and that's going to help push that baby right on out.
Okay, because the contraction itself is designed to help push the baby. That's exactly what your body's trying
to do.
That's
exactly what
it's
trying
to do. So you're working with your body.
You're working with your body. So you want to feel it. So you had.
Is there any way to prepare for that? I mean,
I always, in my classes, I always have my partners learn to push. So if you want to get, you know, your partner and get him in a pushing position, and you be the doula and you help him push, you know, push through this, it's really a lot of fun, because this helps them understand what it's about and curling him into the position, because we don't want you to do it. But it's kind of nice. It's also like if you really have to go number two and you're really constipated.
That's exactly
what I was
going to
say.
Yeah. It's not very pretty to say, but it's exactly the same.
You might even have a little bit of, you know, expulsion at that time.
But that's good.
And that's really good. Once again, it's a birth doula. That's good. She's pooping.
But for moms, a lot of moms are really scared about that. They're really scared about doing something that can embarrass them. But trust me, when you're in the moment and you're trying to get that baby out, that's the last thing you're thinking about.
Yeah, I still think they think about it. And just, I'll let you know, it's not a lot. I think everyone thinks it's going to be this massive, like they're so embarrassed. And it's really a teeny bit.
Yeah.
Nurses,
a lot of times,
no one
even knows, because they sweep it away so fast.
Yeah,
you
just wipe it and go.
That's scary.
She's like, I'm hoping
that's what it
goes. I'm sure I won't be worried about that when I'm pushing, trying to push this baby out.
What Rosemary, causes the actual urge for us to push our babies out? Because you hear that from women. I feel like I have to push, and they're like, no, you're not 10 centimeters yet, or whatever.
Right.
What is that urge about?
It's just a real, you know, I'm really strong urge about just everything about the placenta and the fundus. Everything's just working together really hard. It kind of goes an upward motion and come down. You can't see it on radio, but it's up and down. And that's the pushing part. So right when the contraction gets to its peak, it's just done. It's done its work. It needs to expel. It needs to bring this baby down. The baby is working its way down into the birth canal, and it's just a natural process in what you're feeling.
Okay. Now,
so
why would that
intense.
Happen before 10 centimeters? Why would we feel that?
I think
sometimes?
The nerve endings on the top, it's just triggering everything else. So it's just getting you prepared for what you should be feeling.
Okay.
And once again, 10 centimeters is what everyone thinks is 10 centimeters when they go and feel. Maybe one person says, oh, you're only 9.5. You can get another person in there and say, oh, no, you're 10.
I want a second opinion on that.
Yes, exactly. You know? And I think a lot of women have gone through that, where one person says, oh, you're this, and another person says, you're this. And it's nicer to go up instead of back. But I think it's just all relative to what they're feeling.
Okay. All right. And then let's talk about the ring of fire. You hear that, too. It's
buzzword. I think a lot of people, you know, are expecting this big ring of fire. I think if you're unmedicated, I think you feel a little more of this pressure. And it's a very intense pressure. It's a lot of pressure right in that perineum area as the baby's head is starting to emerge. A lot of times I've had moms with epidurals not really feel so much of that burning or that real intense feeling. They feel the pressure, but it's a little lighter. So it's not as intense as if you were unmedicated. I always personally love that feeling. All three of my children were born unmedicated. That's because my oldest is 32, so that makes a difference when I'm, you know, when you're old. they didn't really have a lot of these type of things. You pretty much just went in labor. No one really did anything to you. You actually then got transferred into the delivery room. So if you, for you past mommies, if you were crowning, you had to actually lift yourself up and get onto a gurney, and then they would take you down into the delivery room. And you're already crowning, so it's kind of, you know.
Gosh. Which you don't want to be moved.
No,
you don't
want to move at that point, for those of you who know. And that's what was going on.
I would just say no.
Yeah, I know. There wasn't a choice. Everyone was waiting for you in the big, you know, room.
Nope, I don't care.
Yeah, it's really funny.
And what causes the Ring of Fire is the baby starting to crown, right?
Exactly. And it's pressure, lots of stretching in that perineum area. And so a lot of people may use some perineal massage, and that's also, you can do that ahead of time, but that's also what's going on. We want this stage to be kind of slow. We want that baby's head, when they come down, to be in a nice position. It's slow. It's stretching that perineum nice and easy. The lip just comes right over the head, and they usually are looking down, and they'll come popping the little head up, and they'll turn, which rotates their shoulders, and they can turn to the left or right, which rotates their shoulders, which pops on out, and then you usually mom or partner can reach down there and bring their baby up to the chest, and that's the best part.
Yeah. I what I thought was so amazing with my son is that the release that you feel once the whole body comes out, you know, because you get
cool
the head
feeling.
And that's an accomplishment, and then you're working on the shoulders, and then, you know, how they turn to the side, and then the actual delivery of a baby, I mean, to feel that from the mother's perspective, there's no other feeling.
No other feeling in the world.
In the world.
It's just, and as a doula's perspective, there's no other better way to start your day than having, you know, being with someone with a baby.
It's so funny. I was just thinking about that day because I was thinking about you and, you know, the crazy night that you had and taking care of twins and stuff. And then I was like, you know, every day, you know, midwives and doulas go into their job knowing they're going to witness probably birth. Well, not every day, but when you have a mom who's going to give birth. And that's an amazing thing to witness.
It's an honor for anyone.
It's like a high.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a super high, and it's an honor in the same time. And we do it for the love of it, not, you know, for just our own glory or anything else. It's just, we just really enjoy this whole birth process.
It probably gives you a totally different outlook on life, too, because you see it much.
Very much so. Right. You've had a few births, so you just really feel it. And as a new mommy, you know, coming up over here, you know, you know, I just want to say it's really a lot of fun. I always tell my moms, this is the best day of your life. This is your child's birthday. And don't let fear stop you. I mean, it's a hard day. Yeah, it's really hard. But there's lots of things that are hard, but you don't get a baby out of it. So it's wonderful just to go through that whole process and knowing that your body can do this. And it does a great job.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people talk about this third stage, which is the delivery or pushing out of the placenta.
Exactly. I think a lot of our moms forget that once you have a baby and they're all excited about that, there's another little part that comes out, and that's the placenta.
I forgot to tell my husband that the placenta comes out. So what's he thinking? Oh, so when it came out, he was standing over in the corner, you know, because they were he was on my chest and everything, and he was standing over up by my head, and here comes the placenta, and my husband's like,
what's that?
He thought it was my liver.
It's like, is that organ supposed to come out? What is that? What is
that? He was like, I was looking at the doctors and the nurses, and no one was freaking out. So I decided I wouldn't either.
So forewarn your partners, everybody.
Yeah.
You do have to deliver the placenta.
And they do hold it up to make sure it's all there. So, I mean, it's something that I find placentas just so fascinating. And I always wanted my kids to do reports on them and stuff, and they'd say no. But it's just where your child has lived, and it's just the most exciting thing in the whole wide world. And, and I just find them very exciting.
Yeah.
Now you can have the placenta encapsulation, where they can then freeze dry your placenta, and you can use the encapsulation on that. And most hospitals are very good about letting you take your placenta home, so it's a good thing.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's, I think, once again, a lot of people don't realize you have to then push out the placenta. It's just not going to, in a lot of cases, it will slip out, but a lot of times you have to give a few more pushes. But you have that baby in your arms at that point, and you're just like, fine, I'll just push at this time.
Right. Most of my friends have said they don't even remember doing that.
No.
That's like the one thing that they don't remember.
Your endorphins are just like, up at the
through
top.
The roof,
And are you typically feeling any type of contractions with this?
You probably, most of them do have a little contractions that they come through.
It's kind of like the aftershock after an earthquake.
There you go. As Californians, we all know that.
And I'm trained to think that way.
And once again, our uterus has to get back down to the size of a fist. That takes, about 10 to 12 days, 7 days. It depends on everyone's little different, but it takes, has to squeeze back down almost
the size
of a fist.
You still have cramping after the
baby. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I like to let moms
that's
know,
normal.
Too.
That's normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially if you're breastfeeding, those contractions, those little after pains will start. But that's a good thing. We want our uterus to get back down. We don't want it to be boggy. We want it to be nice and firm. Where the placenta had adhered, that's an open wound, so that's why they use that fundal massage. And the nurses will teach you themselves if you don't want them to do it, where they actually rub right there on the top where the placenta had adhered. And so it's an open wound. They want to rub it down, and that's the fundal massage that you'll be experiencing, and you'll learn to do that yourself.
Oh. Okay. I haven't heard about that yet.
Yeah, it's one of those fun things that they do, and you're like, no one told me that. It's a little painful, so I just, you know, because they have to kind of rub it up to make it nice and firm, then you can do it yourself.
Okay.
Right. Oh, this has been interesting. Thank you, Rosemary.
You're very welcome.
I love learning about the different stages and what women can experience. If you guys want to continue this conversation, you can on our Facebook page or even on the episodes page on our website. And we will also list some additional resources for the different stages of labor, and we'll put that on our episodes page as well.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Before we wrap today's show, here are some maternity fashion trends.
Hello, Preggy Pals. I'm Crystal Studendeck, maternity fashion expert and founder of Bar Operator Bump, where you can buy or rent maternity styles for a monthly rate. Today, we are going to talk about choosing the perfect evening dress. With a growing bump and a fancy upcoming occasion, you want to not only look great, but feel great. These tips will help focus on creating that perfect look. First, focus on effort. Use your favorite magazines or online stores to find looks you love. Don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone to try something new. When making a purchase online, make sure to read the details about the fabric combination and find something made of a similar material in your closet so you can feel it. You want to look good, but as your bump grows, the material should be stretchy. Next, consider your frame. For a slimmer appearance, choose an A-line dress that will elongate. Accentuate cleavage with a plunging neckline, or for smaller chests, sweetheart necklines are the most flattering. Make sure to dress appropriate for the occasion. Formal events require floor or ankle-length gowns. Cocktail is usually more flexible, so go for a knee-length dress. For colors, black is always safe, but for a fun twist, add some hot pink pumps and a yellow purse. For a softer look, try rose or pearl colors and silk or satin. If you're going to be sitting for a majority of the time, then choose a dress with more detail up top or accessorize with a chunky necklace or dramatic earrings, but not both. Finally, pull it all together. Metallic heels go with everything, but if you can't walk in 5-inch heels, don't buy 5-inch heels. For more stability and comfort, try a thicker heel. For flats, it's best to choose a longer dress style or a full skirt if you opt for something around the knee. For fall, avoid hosiery and use self-tanner to add some color to your legs for a more chic look. Follow these simple tips and you are sure to look like one hot mama. Make sure to check out more evening dress styles at barforyourbump.com. Enter promo code PreggyPals at checkout to save 20% off your entire order. Thanks for listening to today's tips on finding the perfect evening dress, and be sure to listen to Preggy Pals for more great pregnancy tips.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. If you have any questions about today's topic or any pregnancy-related question, you can send us an email or call our Preggy Pals hotline. That number is 619-866-4775, and we'll answer your question on an upcoming episode. If you have a pregnancy topic you would like to suggest for a possible show idea, we would love to hear it. Visit our website at PreggyPals.com and send us an email. Thanks for listening to Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey, mamas.
Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.